Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. Wanted to welcome you all to the show today, the last week of June 2015. This is an interesting week. It's kind of a slow week here in the U.S. for those of you listening from elsewhere, because it's the 4th of July weekend for us at the end of the week, and this time 4th of July happens to fall on a Saturday. So wanted to welcome everybody to the show. Again, as I said, I'm the business therapist. I've been a business coach for the last 4 years. Prior to that, I had 35 years of IT experience, I would say, in both corporate America as well as several small businesses of my own, and also in education, both higher ed and K-12 environment. So I started a business coaching practice here about 4 years ago after my last IT gig. Was wanting to do something different. And the last 4 years, I've been helping businesses and individuals either start their own business or those businesses that have been around for a while, help make them improvements, help them get to that next level, whatever that level may be for them. Feel free to reach out to me I'll be happy to answer questions online. If the questions come in during the show, and if not, we'll respond to them the following week at questions@ecjgroup.com. Feel free to check out my website, www.ecjgroup.com, or feel free to, drop me an email. Again, you can use questions@ecjgroup.com. I'll be happy to reply to you directly if you'd prefer a direct response as opposed to something over the air. So wanted to go back and kind of review what we had been discussing last week. And one of the areas I always like to cover with all my clients and even new prospects is the whole idea of why they're in business, making sure they have some type of exit strategy, some type of planning for where they want to go with the business. As well as particularly if they're in a family-operated business. One of the things we discussed last week was family-operated businesses. And what do you do when the people you want to pass the business to, your kids potentially, aren't ready or have no interest in the business? And for those of we had discussion on, what do you want to leave as a legacy? I've talked to people that have no exit strategy per se. And the real goal there is that they figure they'll work and really have never even thought of any type of retirement. And that's fine. I can understand that. Some people just want to work. That's kind of their enjoyment, the way they want to move forward. But it's always a good idea to have some type of idea or structure for no other reason that we never know what's going to happen. Here today, gone tomorrow, and unfortunately can be too real at times. And I always recommend that businesses have a plan in place in case the business owner, for some reason, is either incapacitated due to illness, is unable to run his own business, or all of a sudden is killed in some way, shape, or form. Whether through a health problem or that he wasn't aware of, which happens occasionally, or through an accident. It can be because the business you're running, unless you're not married and have no family, is not just yours. Your real goal of getting in business probably was to provide a support structure better than the one you had for the members of your family. So as I remind my clients sometimes that it can be considered a little inconsiderate, I would say. I'll be blunt about that. If you enjoy running the business, you have no plans for the future, so what you're going to do from an exit strategy, but you're running that business not just for you. I mean, if you are, that's fine. If there's nobody else in your life, if you have no extended family of any kind, then there may not be an opportunity to work with a coach. On the other hand, is if you've got family, if you've got a wife and kids, and you need to prepare for that. Now, I don't. That's not an area that I necessarily have expertise in from a standpoint of some of the requirements of insurance and other things. That's where you go and find an insurance specialist or a financial specialist that can help you figure out exactly what you do with the business. On the other hand, from a coaching standpoint, I certainly can help you lay out some plans and figure out what do you want to do with the business if something happens to you. Is the business such that your spouse or significant other could step in, and, or your kids of the age that they could step in, or would they want to? You know, are you going into this business? You know, I hear, you know, family-owned businesses, unfortunately, have some problems just kind of tied to them. And I heard some numbers last week, I think. And I'm not sure of the exact, I don't remember exactly, but I can give you an idea of where they fall in ballpark. And that is that you take a father, or in this case, or even a grandfather who starts a business, he passes it to his offspring, his son. That business has a 50% chance of failing on the first handoff. The father then passes it down to his son. So now we're in the third generation. That failure rate can increase as much as 85 to 90%, if not for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the first reason is that the son has no interest in the business at all, doesn't care about it, was never properly groomed for it, and even if he was, shows no interest in it. On the other hand, the other issues that I've seen are the typical from the first generation to the second generation, but I see it a lot more often. I've seen it a lot more often, and I've read about it a lot more often. And going from second to third generation, that there's a hesitancy to give the third generation the proper authority and or controls. It's one thing to bring your son into the business and give him a position of a responsibility. It's another thing to let him do that responsibility. And that's an issue that always makes it difficult for a small business owner. You have to give up control at times. You have to put some trust in people, and you have to give them an opportunity to fail, because they only learn, most of the times, you'll learn more from failing than you will from succeeding. So, but we also talked about last week, we did some talking on goals. We talked to goals are, to me, one of the most important things. When you've got your why as to why you started your business, from that you derive your mission and your values. Those are what keep your business running smoothly in your mind and in your heart as to why you would keep moving forward. But all of that then takes you to sit down and figure out what your goals are, not just for the next year, but even longer term. I recommend people, when they build a goal planning structure, they always have to have three or four goals for this year, and they should have another bucket list of goals, you know, another three or four at least, maybe more, for 3 years out, and even maybe 6 or 8 years out. You've got to have that long planning, a long plan stretch in effect, so you know what you're headed towards. So as goals are completed, you have something else that you're also shooting for. And then the important of all those, but you just can't create them and ignore them. They have to be reviewed. I recommend reviewing your yearly goals at least every quarter, conceivably every month. And it's not unheard of, depending on the structure of the business, to track them every week. Knowing where you are is extremely important, and making sure that you do course corrections as you move forward. So it's a very important thing. And now that we're in the last week, today is actually June 30th. So actually today is the last day of the first 6 months. It's also the end of the second quarter. This is a perfect opportunity to go back, pull out the worksheets that you put together for your goals for this year, and figure out exactly where you sit in that goal structure. You know, are you on target? Have you missed some things? Are you ahead of the game, or are you behind the game? Do you need to do course corrections? All of those should be readily available through your metrics. And if you don't have them in your metrics, then you've got to you need to create metrics that that can track that. And whether it's whether you as a sole entrepreneur or whether you have a staff of 5 or 10 salespeople, all of that information needs to be collected and it needs to be divided out. I mean, you go into a Starbucks and pay attention to what they're doing when they order their when you order drinks and stuff. Every one of that is pushed into an electronic register that is calculated and tracked. I mean, Starbucks knows exactly what they sell and how much and when they sell it and what time of day is best for them and what time of days are slow and when it's a certain and what time of the season is slow for certain products, and then they adjust accordingly. So it's very important that you have decent metrics, that you have good metrics to look at your goals and review, and then that you take your goals and review them for the next 6 months. Now, if you're on track and things are working well, then there's no need for necessarily any course correction. On the other hand, if you're behind on your goals, the question is why? Did I miss a week here because I was on vacation? Okay. And the rest of my numbers look okay? Fine. On the other hand, the last couple of months not panning out the way I expected them to, you need to review why not. Did I not get in front of enough people? Is my approach not working? Do I need to make a course correction into the way I'm doing my work? Those are all different areas that need to be evaluated and adjusted. And this is the time to do it. I mean, the next few days, I mean, even if you went into next week, particularly if you don't have all your numbers yet, though you should have most of your numbers by the end of the week. It's very important, I find, that in working with my clients, that they go back and they look at their numbers for this past six months, and figure out exactly where they are and where they're headed. So, again, you're listening to Elliot Jolish. I'm the business therapist on Ohm Times Radio, and we'll be back here after these messages.
The Real Conscious Connection. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Ohm Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Ohm Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Imagine magnificence. Do you live to your unlimited potential? Join me, Margaret Ann Lembo. Awaken your consciousness. Listen to Money Magnet Moment, Gem Spot Affirmations, Essential Aromatics, and Looking Skyward Astrocast, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System Show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ohm Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Ohm Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on Ohm Times Radio. In the first quarter here of the program, we were talking about goal planning and also reviewing the idea that now, 6 months into the year, it's time to review and do course corrections. And I also talked a little bit about exit strategy and the importance of having one, particularly in a family-owned business. So in moving on and looking at some other issues that we wanted to talk to, the thing I always go in when I first start working with a client is to try to find out and get them to answer the question, why are they in business? What drove you to start this business of yours? And are you still in love with it? you know, particularly if you've been doing it more than 10 or 15 years, is it still something you want to be doing? If it is, what's working, what's not working, what needs to be fixed, what doesn't need to be fixed? I find it always important to on a regular basis, you know, but as part of almost a strategic plan. And even, you know, I sometimes bring up goals an awful lot, and it goes back to that, because it's what helps drives your goals. So when you figure out why you're in business, or you know why you're in business, it's very important that you kind of identify that. And I tell people to write it down, put it on paper, make a movie about it, make, you know, do a picture collage or something. And put it, you know, if you do it on paper or something, or write some basic one line statements as to why you're in business, and post them where you can see them, so that you remind yourself on a regular basis. You know, I'm a big believer in positive affirmations. I believe that positive affirmations will help you complete the tasks that are more difficult sometimes for certain people to do. There's always that one or two tasks that you don't like doing. You know, maybe you're in sales and you don't like cold calling. You know that's a tough one, because you know a lot of times that's all you can do to start getting business is cold calling. But one of the things I'll work with people on is, well, let's get a list of 100 potential clients and let's write up a script. And I do, yeah, and I think you should. You don't need to read the script per se, but you need to know the script. In fact, I don't let people, if we're doing any type of cold calling, you've got to know the script down pat. You can't be reading it. You got to know it by heart. It's funny. I get calls occasionally, from telemarketers and stuff, and I can tell when they're reading. And then, you know, if you stop and listen to it, a lot of times you can tell when they're reading, and it's even worse when they're mispronouncing the words because they haven't practiced it enough, or they pause at the wrong time. And it's, you know, I understand it a little bit because, you know, they're in a hurry and they're getting paid by making the more calls they make, the more successes they have. Well, that's the same way when you're doing cold calling. You call 100 people, whether you get any customers that are or not, you'll feel a lot more comfortable about cold calling after that. And then on top of that, if you set appointments or are able to close, that's even better. But I don't like cold calling for closing. I like cold calling for introductions and building relationships. In this day and age of marketing, the most important thing is an introduction, and it's building a relationship. I mean, unless you're looking to buy for a customer one time, sell them something, and then be gone. You want to build relationships. I'm much happier if I pick up the phone and call a business and we sit and talk for 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, and I get an email address and I can send them some information that might be beneficial or helpful to them. And that's it. And then I might ask them if I can put them on a mailing list so that I can send them some useful tips in the future as I build some different things out. I'm not necessarily, you know, if I find if there's something during our conversation that piques their interest and they want to take it further, that's fine. But by no means do I expect out of an initial call. It's been shown from the National Sales Association that it can take upwards to seven to eight contacts with a person before they become a client or before you complete a sale. And the higher the price point, the more times you'll have to come in contact with somebody in some way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, you know, the typical average in talking to a lot of salespeople is, you know, they call once, they call twice, maybe three times, and that's it. They're out of it. They're not in for the long haul. They are going to go after somebody else. And my philosophy with that is you're leaving a lot of potential out there that you're not, because you're not following up, because you're not patient enough to wait for it. Yes, it's not going to happen overnight. I talk to people all the time that want to get into, particularly we'll say internet marketing or the MLM business, the multi-level marketing businesses, and they get very frustrated very quickly because it takes a long time to build a relationship with somebody and build a team behind it that can produce. And that's just something you have to understand, you know, particularly in internet marketing. I know quite a few, 6, 7, and even 8, level, income winners, 8-digit winners or, money makers in the internet marketing. Got tongue tied there. Sorry. And, but none of them made it overnight. I mean, it took years in some cases, and you know, slowly but surely they found the niche that worked for them. They figured out what they were doing that worked, and they figured out what they weren't doing that didn't work, and the things that didn't work they quit doing. You know, it's been alluded that Einstein, and I'm not sure that he said this, but it's been alluded that Einstein has stated years ago that the sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And I run into that all the time with people in small businesses that, you know, they go after the same customers over and over and over again with the same attempts and nothing works. And it's unfortunate at times. You've got to change that mindset. You know, you try something. I'm a big believer in split testing, or what's called A/B testing, where you create two very similar offers and you make slight changes between one and the other and figure out which one works best for you, which one makes you more money. So the other thing that I like talking about along this whole process, particularly at the 6-month cycle, is processes. It's very important that you recognize, A, that you do have processes. Everybody in their business has some kind of process. You have to understand what those processes are, and you have to make sure those processes work the way you expect them to work, and if they're not working, they need to be changed. I run into this particularly with a large company. You know, I get the excuse, well, we've been doing it this way for years, and it works just fine. And then you get in and start talking to the people that are kind of in the trenches that are doing it on a regular basis. And they say, well, yeah, we make it work. It's not clean. And, you know, there are a few things that don't work anymore because the software has changed or we haven't changed the software and there are other requirements that have to be done. I worked for a company years ago that when they brought in a new software product, they ended up rewriting half the software. Instead of changing the processes that the way they did it, They changed the software, and then they kept wondering why things didn't work well, and that they were always having to do things by hand and then redoing stuff, and that's because they weren't flexible enough to or recognize that the right way to do the things was to make a change in their processes and then have it fit the software, since the software had been written by a company that was an expert in the field. Had gone through and had evaluated, you know, thousands of different situations and understood exactly what needed to be done. And of course, this company went in and basically threw all that away and kept their old system. It took years and things that were they were antiquated. I mean, a lot of them some of the ways they basically took the way they'd been doing it on paper and transferred it to kind of doing it the same way on computer, and that doesn't work. So it processes and process improvement is a very challenging and can be a very difficult task. I don't recommend doing it alone. I recommend it takes a multiple level of people. It takes all of your staff because they are the ones that are in the trenches working it. And more importantly than that, of course, I think it takes a coach or a third party to help you oversee it and kind of recognize the steps that are involved in it. I do some process improvements with a couple of clients, and sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's hard. It is always challenging. It is always a situation that because you've done something, you know, the same way, we'll say, for 2 or 3 or 4 or even 5 years, and it works. And now you're trying to make it work better. Now, that doesn't mean that just you change something just to change it. Yeah, I mean, if you go through and you analyze the process and the process works and the process and there aren't and you can't really make improvements out of it, then there's no reason to change it. You don't change something just to change it. But you certainly need to go back and evaluate, depending on the type of product you're dealing with. If it's a physical product, then it needs to be reviewed every couple of years. If, on the other hand, it's working with software or maybe your accounting system or something, they probably need to be reviewed even more often than that. And it's a situation that you've got to recognize that, and it takes time. It's not something that can be done overnight. It could conceivably, depending on the size of your company, could take several months, could take a year, could take more than a year. If you go back and look at any of the line processes that are done, well, take a look at the automobile industry, and everything's done in a line, and those processes take the processes themselves take years to build, even though or to analyze and figure out what works and what doesn't work, and they change them regularly because the cars change every year. You know, our car models change constantly. You know, there's design teams working on probably, let's see, this is 2015. We're getting ready to go with the car season 2016. Basically, cars will come out in the fall in October, and they're already working on 2017 and probably 2018 designs and figuring out what will work, what people want, and then they have to, once they figure out what they're going to put in a car, then they have to analyze how's it going to work down the line, what pieces get put in together when. So, process improvement, process changes can be very complicated and take a lot of time to analyze and work, but they're very important. So, you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist on Ohm Times Radio, and we'll be back right after these messages.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome to The Gathering Around My Kitchen Table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour on Ohm Times Radio. Again, feel free to reach out and drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com. That's questions@ecjgroup.com. And check out my website at www.ecjgroup.com. Again, just whether you have a question or just want to drop me a line or want a one-on-one conversation, be happy to discuss any business topic with you. Just reach out. And for the last half hour or so, we've been talking about kind of midlife or mid-year reviews, talking about goal setting, processes improvement, and the different areas that should be approached here on this June 30th of 2015. And it's important to recognize that we're basically midway through the 2015 here, and it's time to evaluate and kind of figure out what am I doing right and what am I doing wrong. Another area that I like talking about a lot with my clients, and they always seem to need some help and guidance on, is marketing. How do you find customers? What do you do? Do you have an offer that attracts new customers? Do you stay in contact with old customers? How do you stay in contact with old customers? And what do you do for your current customers above and beyond? I always, in this day and age, the whole idea behind sales is all relationship building. I go out and find a product I like. I'm going to stick with that product if I like the person selling it or promoting it. Much more so than trying everything else a lot of times. So I find it's very important. But the question always comes in, how do you find clients? What do you do? One of the things I work with when I'm working with small businesses, and if we're starting and we go down that area of marketing, is I'll help them go through basically an audit. We'll do a sales audit or a sales and marketing audit, basically, to get a better understanding of what's the business about, make sure that you're on track, that you're, again, as I say, here we go, we're talking about missions and visions, because those are all part of the pieces. You've got to know what those are. You've got to have those basically well stated in your own mind, and in some type of I would tell people to create a book, basically, and all of this information on your business should go in that book. So your why would be in there, your mission statement would be in there, your vision statement. It's a place to hold your goals, both short term and long term. It's a place to bring up ideas of things you want, that maybe things you want to do in the future, not necessarily goals, but maybe some dreams. We talk about, when I do goal planning, we talk about a dream inventory, and that's very important. But let's move back to marketing a little bit and recognize that there's two areas of marketing and you have to be aware of both of them. Sending advertisements, posting something on the web for people to see. How do you get people to see it? How do you get people to acknowledge that they've seen it and want to get more? All of that revolves around tactical marketing. But the problem with tactical marketing, that you have to have a strategic plan. So you have to have strategic marketing in place. With both pieces, then you can become successful. Because, first of all, from a cost standpoint, if you're selling, a widget and you've got 100,000 people in front of you, how do you know which one of those people need widgets right this minute? My guess is you're going to find, if you're able to find them and actually weed them out such that you can go directly to them, probably 1%, maybe even 0.5%. On the other hand, so the other option is you send out an advertisement to all of them. So let's say an advertisement, costs a dollar. So every time you send an advertisement out to 100,000 people, you're spending a lot of money. On the other hand, what if the first time you send it out, you include an offer of some kind? Mr. Business Person. I sell, you know, top 10 things or top 5 things or top whatever things that to make to look for when you're buying these widgets, or how to make your widgets last longer. All, you know, some type of something that would catch their attention. Because if you hand out some type of document or value, some type of information that is of value to either your current clients or your prospects, they'll remember you. So even if they are not interested in buying your widgets today, you know, maybe next week they're, Joe, we're out of widgets. We need to go buy some. Oh, well, I just happened to see this person and they handed me this document out here on how to make our widgets last longer. Will this help us? And, you know, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but they'll remember you. And then that, which is the key, you basically build what's called a drip campaign, where you're attracting attention, you're capturing their basic information. So their basic information would probably be an email address, maybe a first name, last name, if you're lucky. If not more, ideally, if you're selling widgets and stuff, you might be able to get them to give you a phone number or something so you could follow up in person. With that information, certainly with an email address, you can send them little tips and hints and follow ups and said, hey, thanks for connecting with me. Here's your free advice. Or here's the document we're going to hand you out. And by the way, we're starting a newsletter. Click here to be included in the newsletter. And then just, you know, you put a newsletter together that you send out once a month. With all sorts of hints and tips, and you can put new products in there, and you can put specials in there, or package offers. Instead of buying your widgets one at a time, pre-order your widgets. We'll deliver them on a certain schedule, and we'll give you something else in return. We'll give you some cleaning tools to help make it easier to clean your widgets. Several different ways you can look at that. The typical approach, of course, is to discount it. And in some areas, that may be the only option. That's not always a good option, though. Perfect example, I'll give you, you've got two restaurants. They both have a meal selling for $40. So restaurant A says, you know, we're going to attract more attention. We're going to give everybody 25% off. Okay, so 25% off $40 is what, $10? So now you've got a meal for $30. Not a bad deal. Restaurant B says, well, wait a minute. Let's go in there and instead of giving them a 25% discount, let's tell them that when you come in here and have dinner with us, we'll include, along with your main course, your meal, we'll include a bottle of wine, value of $25, and dessert. So all of a sudden now, Who's going to get more attention? The person that's giving the 25% off and they're only going to spend $30, or they can spend the $40 they had planned on spending and they're going to get a bottle of wine and dessert included. Now, I know the thought process, well, wait a minute, they're spending a lot more money. I mean, the restaurant is spending a lot more money. No, and not necessarily, because typically a $25 bottle of wine is going to cost $8. Yep, there's that much markup in wine. So typically we'll say a bottle of wine is going to cost you about $8, and the dessert maybe it's a $6.50 or $7 dessert, probably going to cost you $1 to make. So all of a sudden that you've spent $9 and you're not giving up any money directly, but you've spent an extra $9 and the other person lost or did not collect $10. So which is the better deal? Now, and this doesn't work across the board. It's something you have to evaluate and you have to figure out what's a good offer. And it might be, might be an area that you build some marketing plans around so that you only offer it on certain days of the week. You might have two different offers and you have different offers at different times and see which offer resonates the best with people. So that you figure out exactly where which one works better, so you know which one to offer more often. So there's a lot of different areas. Of course, the real key in marketing is to attract attention, is to figure out how do I get more clients, more customers? How do I keep the customers I've got? How do I get back the customers I've lost? When I'm working with my clients, one of my first questions is, particularly for those people that have been in business more than 5 years, my first comment to them is, when's the last time you've reached out to your previous customers, the one you're not dealing directly with? If you should always maintain that mailing list. You should always send something out, even if it's just a Christmas card every year. Hey, thanks for giving us the business. You know, happy holidays. A lot of times, and while they may not come back and be a customer again, they can always be a referral source. You know, you can always pay a little bit of bonus money. Send us two referral sources, and we'll increase your order by 10% or something of that nature. And you just have to figure out how the values are, and part of it may depend on what the size of the order is. Some companies just pay straight; they pay cash. I know a couple of businesses that you send them a referral source, and that referral source buys. They'll give you up to $1,000. Depending on the size of the order. There's a lot of ways to look at referral sources, but all of your current clients, even your prospects that you're working at, they potentially could know referral sources. And certainly your past clients, the ones that no longer are using your products for some reason. That's something you have to evaluate. Why did they leave? Why are they no longer using your product line? Or your services if you don't have a product. So those are all areas in marketing that have to be evaluated. So marketing is kind of one of these ever moving target that you have to use to kind of build your client base. So we'll continue this discussion right after these messages. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on Ohm Times Radio. We'll be back right after these messages.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Ohm Radio.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and we're listening on Ohm Times Radio. Again, feel free to drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com and check out my website at www.ecjgroup.com. And we've been talking the last 15 minutes or so about marketing, both strategic marketing and tactical marketing. And it's an area that I work with a few clients on right now, and I'm getting more involved with it and learning more and more, because there's always ever-changing. Marketing seems to be an ever-changing, ever-revolving approach to whether things work. I mean, we see marketing all the time. If you go into Google and you search for something and find out what you're looking for, or even more, you go into Amazon and you search for something just to look. And then you notice the next time you're online and you go into Google or something, all of a sudden you'll see things that you were interested in pop up on the right-hand side. So a few years ago, there was a movie out called Minority Report. And if you remember it, if you've seen it, it's probably 10, 12 years ago. I'm not sure of the exact date. I had Tom Cruise in it. And it was an interesting concept. One of the things they showed is that that as you walk down the hallway of a mall, all of the advertisements, there all were screens on the wall, outer walls, and all those advertisements were geared to the person walking by. So they were geared explicitly for you. And that's what we're seeing a lot of on the internet. We're going to see a lot more of that. I was reading an article, which from a technology standpoint, which I found interesting, is that the internet has finally been able to break fiber. If for those of you that aren't aware that most of our communications, at least for the internet right now, is all happening through fiber optics and basically the passing of light. And they have it's gotten such that now that they've been able to send to more traffic than fiber can take. So now that they're looking for new, well, there are new ways in the lab. It's probably 4+ years before we see some of the new technologies come out. But the technology is moving so fast right now, and things are happening so quickly, and you've got to get on board. You know, I tell people, I work with my clients, I say, if you don't have a Facebook account, if you don't have a Twitter account, you've got to get those. LinkedIn is another one, YouTube to do video, even Facebook to do video. Facebook, there's a lot of video on Facebook now, and there's a lot of ways you can advertise with using video. It's not free by any means, but it can be very cost-effective if done correctly. So there's all sorts of new technologies, and if you don't stay up on top of it, or if you don't stay in tune with it, then you're going to find yourself, your competitors are going, somebody, one of your competitors might do that, and they do it, they're going to take business away from you. So it's very important, I think, that you find yourself a marketing expert, a marketing coach to work with that can help you. Don't just take the first coach that comes along that says they can do something for you. You know, get commitments out of them. Talk to, you know, get reviews if necessary. Interview more than one. There's certainly different ways of doing approaches to finding a marketing coach or any type of business coach. I always think it's very important to interview business coaches. I always interview the clients that I'm working with to make sure I want to work with them. So I don't accept everybody just because they have a problem and I can recognize it, and they understand that there's some hard work involved. All my clients have understood that they have homework, so that there's going to be chores and tasks on top of their regular work that I'm going to require them to do, because it's not benefiting them. There's no point in working together with them if they're not willing to make those changes and make the do the necessary work that's important. And from a business standpoint, when you're looking for a coach, feel free, you know, ask questions. I always tell my clients, you know, the biggest thing I find when I'm working with my clients is to help you get out of your own way. Particularly a small sole entrepreneur, they are always, because their hands are everywhere in the business, and that's one of the areas I think that they have to improve upon. If they're extremely successful, then it's time to start offloading and getting the things that they either don't like doing or don't do as well as, and getting somebody else to help them do it. Now, whether they do it themselves, whether they hire somebody as an employee or use a contractor, doesn't make a difference. Does not make a difference at all. And one of the things that I find very important when I'm starting to work with a client, and I highly recommend this, is to build a policies and procedures manual, something so that as you do get bigger, that you won't have everything laid out the way it should be, but you can do some basics. You know, policies and procedures would be an area that when you hire a contractor, it's the things you're looking for in the quality of a contractor. When you're hiring an employee, it's where you would put job descriptions and have job. And, you know, you should have a job description for yourself too. And you know, and you just can't say chief bottle washer and catch all. You know, that may be, but the idea is to, you know, as you're starting to build your company. Excuse me. Let's go back here and take it. So you're starting as a sole entrepreneur, and 3 or 4 years down the road, you've gotten to the such that you want to add 2 or 3 people. So somewhere along that line, you need to have developed what are they going to be doing. You just can't say, I'm hiring you, here, go do this. You need to give them structure. You need to let them you need to give them some guidelines, let them go work it out, then figure out, adjust those guidelines if necessary. So there's all sorts of areas. So policies and procedures book, I think is very important to have. We always work on it as part of a strategic plan, but you don't have to. As a small businesses, really small businesses, under 25 employees don't necessarily need a true strategic plan. But they need goal planning. They need a policies and procedure manual, which includes their missions and visions. They've got to have some processes in place as to how things work. They've got to have an authority structure so that they know who to go to when, if they need help from something. There's all sorts of areas that would fall under a policies and procedures manual that have to be handled. So it's very important in the bigger scheme of things. And we kind of got sidetracked from the marketing that we were talking about, but I thought it was important enough to kind of build this idea. We had talked about it earlier. But I hadn't gone into the detail, and I had really wanted to mention policies and procedures and the importance of it. I'm working with a client right now that's running into some issues because they have no formal plans in place, and we're trying to put some stuff together, and he's trying to figure out he's kind of wearing two hats at the same time, which is creating some issues because it's creating an identity crisis. And I'm trying to get him to kind of settle down on one of those, and then we'll move forward on that. And all of this rolls around to having the policies and procedures, you know what your vision is, you know what your mission is. So when you build a website, and yes, everybody's got to have a website these days. Now, there's actually more than one website you need, or you can kind of build it all, but. Your basic website, if you're going to build a basic website kind of say who you are, a few pages, the basic information, a little bit more about your company, and that's it. And that's all you're going to get. And whether you, unless you spend a lot of money on it, and though I don't think that's always necessary, and you certainly aren't, your SEO on it's going to be, it's not going to be great. It will take months, if not longer, to get good SEO on it because you're not feeding it. You're not putting information out on it. And unless you create a blog and you constantly put posts out there. On the other hand, if you create a landing page, and that's an area where you would create to capture your basically prospect leads. And that's when you make an offer. So you post an offer somewhere. You go to your association maybe and you ask them, do they have an ad space on their website? You put an offer there. Well, that offer does not direct them to your website, not to the main page at least. It would direct them to a capture page. So when they click on here, it would go to a capture page where they can enter their name and contact information, or maybe name and email address is all you basically need to start with. So now once you have that capture, have captured that information, you start building yourself a list of contacts. And that, and it's very important to recognize that, you know, I talk to people all the time that, you know, I client went out. This was before I started working with him. He contracted with a company to build a website. They did a decent job. He had to pay more money at the very end because he didn't read the contract correctly. And then after a couple of weeks, he says, well, why aren't people calling me? Well, nobody knows you're there yet. It's going to take, you know, and I don't know, and I have not looked at the site to know what kind of analytics are built into it or what kind of SEO is built into it. So it could take 6 months before he sees any real attention to it. And they've made the comment too that they want him to blog twice a week and tweet two or three times a day. And he's a sole entrepreneur. He doesn't have that kind of time. Now, there are opportunities out there. There's software. That's also the opportunity for a third party to come in and you hire somebody else, give them the basic information, and let them do some of the writing for you if you don't want to write. There's always solutions. You just have to figure out the pieces that you don't wear should go. So you've been listening to Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. I'm surprised at how fast the hour has gone, but I welcome you all. Please feel free to reach out to me at questions@dcjgroup.com. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Take care.